content of the following program is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, treatment, or cure. Always consult your physician or a health professional with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition.
One Life Radio is brought to you by our sponsors, great companies like Sun Warrior, the pioneers of plant-based protein. From the sun to the plant to you, go to sunwarrior.com to learn more about all the products and use the code OLR for 20% off your order. Enviromedica, makers of Terraflora, a novel broad-spectrum symbiotic combining spore-form probiotics and advanced food-based ancient prebiotics. Find Terraflora and the full line of products at enviromedica.com. Castor and Pollux, the new standard in pet food, the only complete line of USDA organically certified pet food. Crazy Water, infused by Mother Nature, not some random factory. Paleo Magazine, now all digital. Go to paleomagazine.com to subscribe. The Wellbeing Journal, Veg World Magazine, the International Society of Sports Nutrition, and Thorne Research. Visit our dispensary at oneliferadio.com for 20% off and free shipping. You can find more information on all of our sponsors, including links to listener discounts, on the OneLifeRadio.com sponsor page. Thank you for listening to One Life Radio.
Place you're listening to One Life Radio. Come on, girl. I love that song. Elevate My Mind. I by the Stereo MCs from back in the, was it in the 80s?
I think they were like maybe late 80s, border early 90s, but mostly like late 80s. But yeah, great group.
Yeah, I know. It's so good to be back on the air. Happy Monday, everyone. And how are you doing? I didn't introduce us yet. You're listening to One Life Radio.
It's Monday.
It's Monday. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas on iHeartMedia as well as KMET in Southern California on ABC News Talk. So I'll ask you again, Junior, how you doing?
I am doing good. I had a great weekend. And, you know, over the weekend, I was thinking, it's been, you know, a little over 2 weeks now since we started working together.
Yeah.
And I was wondering if you've picked up on anything about me, maybe if you know stuff about me just from us working in this short amount of time together. And so maybe we could play a game.
Let's do it.
Give you and the listeners a chance to know a little bit more about me. So it's called Two Truths and a Lie. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to tell you three things about me.
Okay.
Two of them will be true. One's going to be a lie. You try to figure out which one's the lie. And they're not going to be in any order. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So the first one, I was once kicked out of and banned from Canada. Number two, I have four tattoos.
Okay.
Number three, I'm a former national champion figure skater.
Oh, my gosh.
Which one of those three is a lie?
You were kicked out of Canada.
Unfortunately, that's true.
Oh, no. Are you serious?
Yeah. I didn't have work papers, and we went over there and they caught us, and so I got kicked out and banned for a year from going to Canada.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And you're a champion, you're a former champion ice skater?
Is that what you think's true?
Yeah, I guess, because, right?
Yeah, I don't have any tattoos. No, I'm a former national champion roller skater in figure skating, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, so it was like ballroom dancing, but on roller skates, and yeah, I won nationals
gosh.
Back when I was a teenager.
Wow. And where did you start roller skating?
In Florida. Like the Tampa area, yeah.
Wow. I would have never known.
Yeah, I actually have a picture in my skating outfit. I could send it to you, and you could post it if you want.
Well, this is going to be fun. I'm going to have to come up with some really good ones. Mine were pretty lame, but we're not going to do mine until Friday. But
See if I can figure out what I know about you.
Wow. You just made me think of something when you were saying that about getting kicked out of Canada.
Huh?
I had the Polizei called on me once when I lived in Germany. When I was at the Frankfurt on Bahnhof, I think is what they call it, if I'm remembering. And because I couldn't find my train, and I had like a panic attack, and they thought I was a weirdo. So someone, you know, called the Polizei.
Look at us. We're like international bad guys.
And they didn't do anything but just ask me if they could help me.
Right.
I was so young. Oh, my God. Basically, my mother said it's when I ran away from home, even though I was 19 years old. I went to Europe with like $50 pinned into my bra. This is a true story.
Gosh.
and just was just so in love and just wanted to that adventure too, you know. And mm-hmm. I just off I went to Europe.
Wow.
Just young and dumb.
Hey,
you know?
It's when
and,
you got to do it, you know.
Oh, I know. But some the crazy stuff that we do when we're kids. I would absolutely I would have a heart attack if one of my children did that.
Yeah.
My poor mom and dad. But it's always great to be on the air with you. I love having Junior as a part of One Life Radio, as well as so many regulars that we have on the show, like Autumn Conley, who is on the line. Are you there, Autumn? I hear her.
Yeah. I'm here.
There we go.
There you go. From Arizona. Oh, my gosh. Happy Monday, Autumn. How are you doing today? You doing well?
I'm wonderful. What's yeah? not to be happy about on Monday?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you have such a good attitude about it. But, you know, Autumn now lives in the Sky Islands of Arizona with her three kiddos and animal babies. She is the creator of Anvil Traditional Healing, a company dedicated to restoring microbiome health through diet. And Autumn is also a self-taught vegan chef, a cereal gardener, and an avid believer in and teacher of the healing powers of meditation. You can contact her at meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. That's meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. And you can get her products Anvil Traditional Healing on Amazon. That's where I get mine. And you've got a couple of more products coming out, which we will talk about moving on into the show. But today you're going to talk to us about prepping for a winter garden. I'm super excited about this because I want to grow some stuff. I really want to grow some more stuff. Well, there's something very rewarding about growing your own food, and it's become a movement across this country, especially in light of everything that we have been through in 2020. So let's talk about this. What plants do best in a winter garden? How do we even start?
You know, starting a winter garden is really simple. And if you Google it, it's unfortunately, it's like a bombardment of information. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to talk about it, because it's way easier than most people, you know, act like it is. So best plants for a winter garden are ones that honestly are going to grow inside.
Okay.
Whether it's inside your house or inside of a very simple greenhouse. I use the word greenhouse lightly because that's not really what it is, but it's got some form of winter protection. Yeah. And then there are also vegetables, dark leafy greens that are really hardy outside. And when you look at the literature on a plant's hardiness for winter temperatures, oftentimes it's really wrong. So
really?
I wanted to let people know you can grow quite a few things outside, even during light freezes and frost for a long time. So things like in my garden, I pretty much year-round have Swiss chard. I year-round have kale. I year-round have different varieties of Asian greens like bok choy or pak choy. And then as well as herbs like oregano and parsley and Ooh. Lemon balm. And all kinds of different things like rosemary. So there's things that are, you know, if you're wanting to continue your garden outdoors, there's things like that. If you're wanting to do things inside, I always suggest microgreens or sprouts.
Yeah.
And then my favorite is I tend to be a seed collector. So when I eat dates, I save the seeds. When I eat oranges or lemons, I save the seeds. And then I dry them out, and then this time of year, I start planting them indoors. And so it's a great way to start plants that need a long germination period, meaning they need a long time to sprout and then a long time to kind of be babied before uh-huh. they're planted in the ground. So right now, I'm starting several trees inside and several things like grapevines. And what you do is you just find a decent, doesn't have to be too sunny, but it's got to be, you know, have good airflow yeah. place in your house. And you put them in the little pots, you know, either little plastic ones or the little terracotta ones, I think, are even 15 cents I last saw at Tractor Supply.
Oh, wow.
And you can just grow them in there and just keep an eye on them. So that way, by springtime, you can have, you know, a 2 or 3 inch tree to plant in the ground.
Wow.
And it's just kind of a fun way to repopulate the earth.
Well, yeah, and how great for your kids.
Make fun of me.
Well, yeah, and
yeah,
your
they
kids.
They always make fun of me. They're oh, well, like, we're going to get an orange from that when we're 40.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, Junior, I got to bring you into the fold here. Have you ever planted anything at home and had a home garden?
My daughters wanted to start something, so me and my wife cut off the ends of the green onions and planted those because they just regrow again. So we've done that before, and my kids loved it, and now they want to do more gardening type stuff. So we did look into it. We just haven't gone out and bought the stuff yet.
Yeah, you know, I have all these cats. I can't even have a house plant in my house because my cats, they won't leave it alone. And I, you know, it's just like I'm done fighting it. So I have a few decorative plants that don't look fake, but they are. Okay, just to put some greenery in my home because I love the look so much. It's visually so beautiful and it's good for your mind. But so if I was going to do this, Autumn, I'm going to have to get like those rolling raised garden ones. You know, like the ones that they have, like it's the only place I've ever seen them is at True Foods Kitchen. You know, and they have, they grow like, you know, and then they roll them indoors when the, and then they put them back out in the sun. I don't even know where you get them, but that would be the only option for me that I could probably
that handle. Would be one option, but the other option is something that I put on there to talk about, and it's what I call making a greenhouse. And you have a wonderful yard for that because you've got all of that clear space out back.
Yeah,
and it's really simple. The simplest one that you can make, it's just called a hoop house, and really all it is PVC pipe in an arc and then covered with some sort of polyethylene sheeting. So you can buy hoop house kits, but you could also just go to Home Depot and buy some PVC and buy some sheeting and just put it together. There's really no science to it.
Wow.
So, and in that, and what that does is it protects the plants from frost and it will protect them from light freezes. So then it opens up the variety of things you can grow quite a bit, meaning you can expand yourself from the dark leafy greens into things like carrots and beets. Other root vegetables like that. You could do even some sprouts out there, particularly the hardier sprouts like a broccoli sprout, or hardier microgreens like spinach microgreens and things like that. Things that you're going to plant, you're going to let them sprout rather quickly, and then you're going to harvest them. That way they're basically going from being in the ground or in the dirt or in the greenhouse to your plate very quickly, making it less likely for them to have to sustain a bunch of overnight deep cold temperatures. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, it does. I'm going to look into it for sure, but we're going to go to break. More coming up, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio, Autumn Connolly. We will be right back.
Listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we have Autumn Connolly on the line. Junior, every time I hear that song, you know what I think of?
What?
What do you think of? I think of the Mavericks game.
Oh, you know? Yes. Oh, it's been so long since I've been, but yes, you're right.
They used to play that all the time, and then there was always that crazy guy. I don't know who he was, but in the stands that used to get up and do the thunder, you know, pound on his chest and stuff.
So much fun. Man, I miss that. Yes.
It's so good to be on the air today with you guys. It really is. Everyone, thank you for joining us and listening in. I've got Autumn Connolly. She's not only a dear friend, she is one of the smartest women I know, and she lives in the Sky Islands of Arizona. You are. You really are. You're an incredible writer. I mean, I just love this woman. I remember the first time I met her, I was like, holy smokes, I really like her. She's fascinating, multifaceted, like super talented and super sweet. Now you're even doing hospice nursing, which I've done in the past myself, and I know that you're loving it because I know I did. It was so rewarding.
I know. It really is, isn't it? It's just like, I mean, I don't know. It's just a special thing to,
it's a gift,
to be with somebody. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you're giving a gift to someone at the end of their life, and it's something that's incredibly rewarding. Anyone out there listening that's never done it, that just has a big heart, I recommend it highly because it's a service that we need in our world. It really is from people.
It really is. I mean, that's what I keep telling my kids when I talk about work at all with them. I think, you know, this is a really neglected area of care. You know, you think about these people, you know, you wouldn't leave toddlers unattended,
right,
you know, and yet you wouldn't leave them without any stimulus or any human interaction. But yet the elderly people or the ill people or a lot of times people that are in a poverty type situation who are mm-hmm. sick or older, it's, you know, they're left alone, you know, 90% of their day, 98% of their day. And it's a shame that they aren't looked after a little bit better by society.
Well, maybe a few people will volunteer today after hearing that here in Texas and in California. It's very rewarding, as you know and as I know. But, you know, Autumn, you're a wonderful woman, and you happen to live in the Sky Islands of Arizona with your three kiddos and all your animal babies. But she's also the creator of Anvil Traditional Healing, a company dedicated to restoring microbiome health through diet. And they have a couple of new products we're going to have you mention here in just a minute. But Autumn is also a self-taught vegan chef, a cereal gardener, and an avid believer in and a teacher of the healing powers of meditation. You can contact her at meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. That's meditatewithautumn@gmail.com. Okay, tell us about these three new products that you have.
Oh, well, so I added to my line, and what I wanted to do was create things. You know, my original product is what's kind of called a juice kefir, so it's bubbly like a soda.
Right.
But I wanted to create something to mimic more of a commercial yogurt type thing. So I used plant-based ingredients and came up with a drinkable yogurt. So it's essentially like a kefir or, you know, a yogurt-type milk that you would pour in a glass and you drink. And I've got all kinds of different flavoring suggestions for people to kind of boost their own creativity. And then my favorite one is the Greek yogurt, really. And it's just, it's such a simple product. There's hardly any ingredients in it. And it's amazing. It's really where you can kind of see Mother Nature at work because you do very little and you add very little and you wind up with this delicious, thick, fluffy Greek yogurt that's completely plant-based and has tons of live and active probiotics in it. I mean, the lab testing on this product alone is insane when you talk about the amount of probiotics that you're consuming in just a single ounce. And
nice.
From my experience, eating a single ounce is pretty difficult because it's delicious. And the only thing I tend to add to mine is some raw, locally sourced honey. And it winds up just being a three-ingredient treat and so healthy and yummy and fun and I'll even say fascinating to make because it's almost like the human mind can't process how you can take what essentially is cashews and water and turn it into this fluffy, creamy goodness.
I can't wait to do it.
It doesn't even make sense.
Well, I remember testing all your recipes when you were here living here in Dallas, and oh my gosh, you guys, they were so delicious. That's one of the things I miss you, but I also miss your drinkable all the treats you used to bring in. It was always fun to see what you were up to. But you can absolutely nurture with nature, and that's basically what we're talking about here today. And also, you know, starting a winter garden and all these things that make life better. They really do make life so much more interesting and fun, especially for the kids. And I'm reading here too that you have a live and active horse probiotic now. I can't wait to tell my niece. She's got 5 horses.
So I'll send you some samples to give to her, but it's actually pretty amazing because I had a girlfriend who had a horse who she was a neighbor and our kids grew up together and back in Fort Worth, and she adopted a horse that had been kind of just ignored for years on end, and she had a lot of health problems. She wound up having to take a lot of antibiotics, and she was asking me, you know, what to do about probiotics for her horse. And so just because we were so close, I, you know, looked into it, researched it, and I'm like, oh, all this stuff is awful, you know, this is not going to help her. And she had a really special relationship with this horse in particular. So I created a product that I just wanted to basically give to her so that she could give to her horse. And it made such an improvement in this animal's life and in my girlfriend's life as well, because, I mean, it basically turned her into a completely new animal, and she loved it. And so I tested it out in Fort Worth with some other ranchers that I met just kind of through the industry I was in. And I was told, you know, it did all kinds of things, from stopping colic to preventing some emotional reactions that they would have to horses that were under a lot of stress. And it's just amazing. It just goes to show, again, kind of like what I always say, how there's not that much difference between people and animals, you know.
Oh, no.
And the way that a lot of our body functions is through what we give it, you know, in our diet. And probiotics make a big difference.
Absolutely. And if your horse ain't happy, you're not happy. Kind of like if mama's not happy, right, the house isn't happy. I know from my niece, she's got 5 horses, and they are a lot of work at times. And you do, they're part of the family. They're wonderful creatures, beautiful, wonderful creatures. And there are a lot of horses here in Texas. So, yeah, we'll help get the word out for sure. The less suffering, the better for all of us, especially our animals. But so let's continue talking about this gardening. OK, so you talked about transplanting winter garden seedlings. So what does that look like? Is it pretty simple to transplant them once you get them to a certain growth?
Yeah, it is. And that's sort of one of the things I wanted to talk about, because that's a part that becomes daunting for a lot of people. Obviously, some things can be transplanted very easily, like I talked about the trees, you know, grow them in a grow, you know, I usually plant 3 seeds in a small pot, you know, a pot that probably holds about 8 to 16 ounces of dirt. And out of those, you know, maybe 1 or 2 of them will sprout. And then from there, it's fairly easy to separate them when they're little and repot them into their own pot. And then when it's warm, usually when the first sign of frost is gone, you can go ahead and you can put them in the ground.
Nice. You're coming to Dallas, aren't you, in a couple of weeks? We'll have to do some videos and actually do it here at my house, and everybody can see, you know, what we're up to. It'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I bought tons of different seeds because I really want to grow a bunch of different trees this year. And the trees are something that's really easy to replant. So my caution to people is that some things aren't as easy to replant outdoors, so make sure you plant them in a suitable enough pot to just move them outdoors.
Yeah.
You know, things like mint aren't very easy to replant, and other kind of viney type things, it's best to let them grow and then just move the plant out to the garden. Mm-hmm. And just let it stay in the pot. And other things, you know, obviously carrots, root vegetables don't transplant very well, lettuces don't transplant very well, so those type of things, grow them where you're going to eat them.
Well, and let's talk about beets. Okay. Aren't beets, they're pretty hardy, aren't they? Not just, you know, as a vegetable, but also in growing them through some frost, like you were talking about earlier in the show.
Yeah.
They can withstand a lot, can't they?
They really can. And what I like to do is I like to eat the greens more than I even enjoy the root itself. I think
really?
The greens are really, really delicious in a salad or in a soup, because they kind of hold their turgor once they've been cooked. So it's like you don't, you know, it doesn't turn into mush like spinach or something would.
Oh, yeah.
And so with beets, I like to start, I basically have beets growing all year long, because you can grow beets in shade. You can go grow beets through the winter, you know, like beets just will grow anywhere. And a lot of times I grow them, and when they're young, I cut their leaves, and then they sprout new leaves. And you can kind of get baby beet greens for a month or 6 weeks or so, and just let them keep regrowing their leaves while the beet at the bottom, kind of the beet root, kind of stays in stasis. And then after you've, you know, eaten, you know, a few weeks worth of greens, then you can let the beet grow. And it does need all the leaves to grow, photosynthesis and all that, to, for the root to grow big. But you can kind of get like a bonus plant from it for a few weeks beforehand.
Wow. So beets are one of the winter vegetables that you can plant right now, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And what are some of the other ones?
I would say kale is a great one to plant, any kind of kale, the Jacinto kale or the dinosaur kale, flat leaf kale. anything like that is good. Make sure, you know, start it inside. Don't put a, you know, I would suggest don't ever just put a baby plant outside in the winter. But right now is a good time, depending on where you live, to start it inside and then move it outside when it's a little bit larger plant, maybe 4 inches tall or so. And then you can move it outdoors. And, you know, I can't speak to everybody's gardening zone, but for the most part through the autumn is kind of like winter spring for a lot of vegetables. Uh-huh. And so you can put them out there, and the fall is going to be the best time that they're going to be the most predictable and easiest to harvest. And then the winter, it's kind of trial and error. Some things are going to make it and other things aren't, but it's really neat to learn what does make it in your area. And then, you know, for the next year, what you can plant more of.
Yeah. What about broad beans? I'm thinking of kale and bean soup.
Beans, I would suggest growing in the hoop house or in any sort of greenhouse type with a little bit of winter protection.
Okay.
So I have an old chicken room that's just basically four little gated walls that I put baby chicks in, and I'm not using it right now. So I was going to put some sprouts and some tropical plants. I have a cinnamon tree and then a coffee bean plant and stuff like that that I want to put in it. And all I was going to do is just get some opaque plastic sheeting from Home Depot and just wrap it over there. And since I'm in the mountains, it does get a little bit cold in the middle of winter. And all I was going to do is add a little bit of heat with like a red warming lamp. Uh-huh. So something you can get for $10 at any sort of feed store or something like that, and just turn it on at night. That way there's less chance of a deep freeze in there. But it's a really simple way to kind of keep things trucking along during the winter, and that way you get like a head start to the spring. You know, so it's like you're going to get more harvest from all of your vegetables if by the time the spring comes, they're already well established.
I love it. I'm excited. I really am. I just love growing things. I think of my little watermelon that I had a few years ago. I was so proud of that watermelon. Oh, my gosh. But it's always great to have you on the air. And hopefully we'll see you in a couple of weeks. We'll shoot some great videos and grow some stuff.
I hope so.
Or start growing some stuff. It's going to take a little bit there. But always a pleasure. Autumn, thank you so much. And we'll check out your products, Anvil Traditions, at Amazon.com. Is that where we can get them, all three of them?
Yes,
that have been
ma'am.
Released
That's
so
it.
Far? All right. All right. Well, you take care. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, everyone. We've got Sam Morris coming up. He's fantastic. We're going to be talking about, are you letting personal struggles define who you are? I don't know. Let's check it out. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio. If you don't want to see me, did a fool. About the way I want you, did the heartbreak change me? Maybe, but look at where I ended up. Show up.
Find us on Facebook, hit like, and follow us at One Life Radio.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to One Life Radio. This is Bernadette with Junior, and we are live from Dallas, Texas, on iHeartMedia, as well as KMET in sunny Southern California on ABC News Talk. We are happy to be here, aren't we, Junior?
Oh, very.
I'm loving this weather. I'm loving this opportunity to just, you know, put good stuff out there into the universe.
Absolutely.
It feels good. It does. And our next guest today is Sam Morris. This is a guy who absolutely is on that train with us. He's extremely positive and has had his own struggles in life, which he's willingly shared with our listeners on the air. But let me tell you a little bit about Sam if you're joining us now for the first time. Sam Morris is the Chief Culture Officer for 5 to Flow Consulting and the founder of the Unbreakable Human Collective, an interactive web-based personal development program for men and women wanting to slay their mental dragons of depression, anxiety, and addiction. He is also a certified personal development coach, recovery consultant, and health coach. You can follow Sam on Instagram at Sam Gibbs Morris. That's at Sam Gibbs Morris, or find him on LinkedIn at Sam Morris. Always a pleasure. How are you doing today, Sam?
I'm doing great. How are you? Pleasure
I'm
to
good.
Be here.
I'm good. TGIM.
It is.
And you know, I love this topic because everybody's going through this right now. Everyone has personal struggles that they are dealing with every single day, especially now through basically this worldwide crisis that we've all been dealing with. But our topic with you is, are you letting personal struggles define who you are? So, you know, like I said, we all have struggles, but can you give us an example of how we can let our struggle define us?
Yeah. So if you have been, I mean, we've all been through struggles, like you said. So when you are going through a struggle, you know, it can last for so long that it becomes a comfort zone for you. The struggle actually becomes the comfort. So therefore, when you actually get out the other side of the struggle, it feels uncomfortable. So what people do is they tend to make the struggle their identity. And you see this a lot with people in recovery, and even with people from depression and anxiety, is that all they do is they identify as the addict. They don't identify as the recovered addict. Like they don't see their selves on the other side of it. They just see that they are an addict. So they introduce themselves as addicts. But they do more than introduce, they identify in that struggle so much that it ends up manifesting itself more and more in their life, and it holds them back from being who they really actually became through the struggle.
Yeah, interesting. So why would anyone want to be defined by a bad experience in their life?
You know, I don't think it's that they want to be defined. I think it's that that's comfortable. And
gotcha.
So, you know, they see that it's a badge of honor, and it is. Like, to walk through a struggle, mental illness, addiction, anything like that, is absolutely a badge of honor. But mm-hmm. when people, they understand that the struggle was really, really painful, but they almost feel a level, you know, they talk about survivor's guilt a lot in like car accidents and plane crashes and stuff like that. And so the person that's been through the struggle will have a certain amount of guilt that they feel that attaches them to that struggle. And they feel that their only value is to talk about how that was them or that is them.
Did you
and
go through
so
that?
So, again, it's not that they want to be there. They recognize that it's uncomfortable. But the fear that comes with the responsibility of being healed and having grown through that is enough to keep them in the struggle.
And did you go through this personally with your addiction process?
Yeah, for a very long time.
Really? You know, so give me an example.
Yeah,
give me an example of it, like how you would continue to define yourself through that struggle. You meet somebody new and like that's the first thing you tell them about yourself?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Is that, yeah, like every time I would meet someone new or if I was talking to a new client, you know, I felt myself defaulting into like wanting to share my struggle with them. And that's great and it gives us a connection and that kind of thing. But it doesn't ever speak to the fact of, okay, that's great, you went through that, but what's life like now? You know, why your life is good now. And so I felt that like without announcing my struggle of, you know, going through the addiction and the depression, I followed it, and without announcing that as like, this is who I am, I didn't have any value. There was I didn't have the confidence and the belief in myself that I was actually not that person anymore.
Wow. And so this mindset, how does it affect everyday life, such as like a job or a relationship?
Well, it's the epitome of self-limiting. Because what it is that if you go into a job or a relationship and you see yourself as that person that's still actually in that struggle, never healed, you're going to feel broken all the time. So you're never going to give yourself the opportunity to actually connect with the person or dive into the job, whatever it is, you're going to always be thinking, well, when I get out of this struggle, like, you'll never get past it to the point where you can actually show up as your highest self, because you're thinking to yourself all the time that all I am is this XYZ, whatever your struggle was.
Wow, that's really interesting. I'm actually having a little bit of trouble wrapping my head around this. I don't know why.
Yeah, it's a tough concept, because until I felt it and saw it, I didn't feel it or see it. Like, I just recognized that, like, you know, because what happens is, like, you tell people, love to hear it, and so what you'll do is you'll tell people the struggle. And just because people are kind and they're nice, they give you accolades and validation for that struggle. So therefore, you're getting fed positive reinforcement for your struggle. Mm-hmm. So until you can actually say, like, until it becomes to the point where, like, God, it's draining to talk about my struggle. Like, it's exhausting to keep telling the story over and over. That's when you begin to realize that, like, you're more than your struggle.
Oh, I got
because
you.
And then you start talking. Then you start to have the belief in yourself. You start to have the confidence in yourself that, you know what, that struggle, I did struggle, but I'm not struggling anymore. And that's the shift that needs to happen, is I did, but I'm not anymore.
Yeah, and I'm trying to remember. Your addiction was alcohol, was it not?
Alcohol and cocaine, yeah.
Alcohol. Oh, that's a bad combo.
Right. Yeah,
so how do you know if, like, for example, your past negative experience or somebody out there listening may be influencing their day-to-day decisions? Like, what does that look like?
It looks like, so say that you have an amazing opportunity to go travel, or you have an amazing, if you're a guy, you have an amazing woman show up in your life, or vice versa, or if you have an amazing career opportunity. And you immediately go to, I'm not worthy of that. I don't deserve that. No way. I'm not fixed enough for that. That's when you have to look at yourself and say, like, well, why, you know, you have to look at the facts, because that opportunity, that person, whatever it is, that trip, that would not have shown up in your life if you were not really, really available to it. So you now have the belief inside of you that you're not ready for that trip. You know, it's that whole thing about, I'll be happy when. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to recognize that you are the person that deserves that trip, that job, that person right now, because they showed up. And so you have to be open to accepting them into your life and not defaulting back into the scarcity mindset of the struggle.
Mm. Interesting stuff. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to continue speaking with Sam Morris. The topic today is, are you letting personal struggles define who you are? More coming up. Stay tuned, everyone. You're listening to One Life Radio.
Feel like a drop in the ocean that don't nobody notice. Maybe it's all just in your head. Feel like you're trapped in your own skin, and now your body's frozen. Broken down, you've got nothing left. When you're high on emotion and you're losing your focus, and you feel too exhausted to pray, don't get lost in the moment or give up when you're closest. All you need is somebody to say it's okay not to be okay.
You're listening to One Life Radio. Make sure you check out our podcast and get to know the show at oneliferadio.com.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to One Life Radio. We are live in Dallas, Texas, as well as KMET in sunny Southern California on ABC News Talk. And we've got Sam Morris on the line. This is Bernadette with Junior. We're talking about, are you letting personal struggles define who you are? Okay, so Sam, let me ask you this. How should we address a negative experience or struggle so that it doesn't define us? What do we do with it?
So what you need to do is separate yourself from it. So you have to shift your identity from that person to the person that walks through it. So you have to look at the evidence in your life. So the evidence in your life, for example, like, if you're coming through the alcoholism or addiction, like, you lose a lot of things. And then over time, whether it be a year, 3 years, 5 years, you get some stuff back, whether that be money, relationships, jobs, stuff like that. So look at the stuff in your life that is data, not the drama. Or the drama, the struggle is the drama. The struggle is the fears and the insecurities that pop up. The data is what's actually in your life right now. Mm-hmm. So when you, for a good thing about identity is they did a study on smokers, and they asked, I think, 60 people to quit smoking. And they told 30 of them, when asked, no thanks, I'm trying to quit. And the other 30, they said, no thanks, I'm not a smoker. And the 30 that said, no thanks, I'm not a smoker, identified as a non-smoker, were way more successful than the people that said, I'm trying to quit. So when you can identify as, you know, if you were an addict, but you got your CEO job back, you know, like, you don't say, I'm trying to get my job back. You say, I'm a CEO, got my job back. Or, you know, I'm in love. I met the love of my life. I'm not looking for the love of my life. So mm-hmm. when you can identify and align your identity with the data from your life, that's when it'll start to shift, and you'll be less inclined to fall back into the struggle story.
Mm-hmm. And so, but some people are more comfortable staying in their struggle, as you said earlier,
yeah.
right?
Yes. So that's where, and this is where the problem lies, is because, you know, it's funny, with pain or discomfort or overwhelm, it can be very comfortable to a lot of people, because, you know, being a victim is easy. Being in that story is easy. You get a lot of validation and a lot of empathy and a lot of compassion when you struggle. And so it's really easy to fall prey to that external reinforcement, when in reality, you know, it's comfortable, but it does not sit well internally. But there's the battle. The battle is, well, I'm getting validation for this. I feel good about this. I know this. I don't know what it's like to live outside of my struggle.
Yeah.
But the real strength comes when you step into that life that is being offered to you.
Well, and it is a lot of work to change, whether it be an addiction, whatever it is, to better yourself, self-improvement. It's difficult. It takes a lot of work, right? A lot of people just don't want to do it at the end of the day.
It can be very overwhelming. Just think, because a lot of people will, and this goes back to the struggle, they see themselves at, you know, like, we'll use the example of they dug themselves a hole, and they see themselves living at the bottom of that hole with no shovel, no ladder, no steps, no way out. And they think, where do I even start? And so the thing is, it's like, all they think, where do they even start? But what they're doing is they're looking at all the way out of the ditch that they're in, or the hole that they're in.
Yeah.
And what they have to do is look at, what's the first thing I need? If I find a rock to step on so I can reach a little higher, or if I find two rocks, or if I find one piece of wood, whatever it is. Like, when people, they get overwhelmed because they think of the end result, like where they want to be, which is great to have that North Star, that target. But you have to look at, what are the small steps to get me there? And that's where the work doesn't become so much of an overwhelming task as it does to be just new behaviors being implemented.
Well, and I see hardship as a gift. Some of my greatest memories in my life so far have been when I've gone through difficult times. I think that we learn our most important life lessons when we go through difficulties, right?
Absolutely. Pain will be your most important teacher.
Well, so
in your life.
So how can you change somebody's mind that the hardships that they're going through are actually, you know, a blessing in disguise, that they are a gift and an opportunity to grow and grow even bigger and stronger and better?
So what they'll do is, I mean, it's your life, right? So you see it every day, every moment, every second, you're experiencing it. So what happens is, a lot of times people lose sight of the progress. Because it's, you know, it's that you're in it all the time, where if you can, keeping a journal is a great way, or if you can keep voice notes or some sort of calendar, and just notice, like, I have a lot of my clients do this. We won't do like daily check-ins, but we'll do weekly, sometimes even more than that, like monthly or 3 month by our every 3 months check-in, because that way you can really see how far you've come. Because if you're looking at it every day, it's, you know, the equivalent of watching a pot boil or watching grass grow. You're not going to see a lot of progress. But if you put your pot on the stove and set it to boil, go off and fold laundry or do whatever, come back in 3 or 4 minutes when it's boiling, you're going to notice a lot of progress. So
yeah.
the growth and development's the same way. When you can just do the things you need to do daily, and then look back a week, look back a month, look back 3 months. Then you really get, you get that internal validation because you see how far you've come and you start to rewrite your story.
Yeah. How does someone tell if they may be holding on to a past personal struggle?
It goes to this thing where they look at, if they're presented with an amazing opportunity and they immediately recoil with fear, or something comes up where they say, no, I can't do it. I'm not, it's a scarcity conversation. So if you find yourself being presented with opportunities for jobs, love, finances, travel, whatever it is, and you find yourself always saying no because you feel a internal resistance, and that's fear, overwhelm, pain, not worthy, I don't, you know, whatever story comes up for you. When you start to feel yourself over and over and over recoil from good opportunities, you really have to look at why you're saying no. Is it because you're stuck? You're stuck in a lane that's not allowing you to grow.
Mm-hmm. And again, your self-limiting beliefs, right? What was one of the first things you talked about. And so journaling, oh, well, there's the music. I was going to say journaling is a fundamental part of that, and learning, looking back and growing from your experiences, right? And your thoughts,
absolutely.
Your thoughts, what you tell yourself.
Yeah, what you tell yourself is the beginning of it all. If you find yourself always having a negative conversation, just flip it. Really, honestly, look at, like, what's the opposite of that thought and start telling yourself that.
Yeah. Always great. Haven't had you on in a few weeks. I've missed you. Thank you so
miss
much
you
for...
Too.
Yeah,
fun.
You'll have to come back. You're my backup quarterback. You have to be come back sooner
always.
Rather than later. Always my backup quarterback. Sam Morris, you guys. You can follow him on Instagram at Sam Gibbs Morris, or find him on LinkedIn at Sam Morris. We got to go. Everyone, have a fantastic week. We'll talk to you tomorrow. And you know what? You get one body, you get one mind, and you get one life. Get out there today and be positively contagious.